issues with your fantasy football roster? Helping with football and your love life, here's your new best friend, Dr. Mike.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
It is that time of the week on As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It is that time of the week where we talk to Dr. Mike, who is a psychologist, executive coach, co-founder of Wanderlust Careers, which specializes in career achievement and life satisfaction. He's a writer, a lecturer, a professor. He focuses on topics like work, love, fitness, and financial goals. And he also is a fantasy football savant. And he also happens to be my best friend of 15 years. So every Thursday at 11:30, he comes on to answer your questions about your life and your lineup. Dr. Mike, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. Good to see you both. You're both in blue. I am too. We all got the memo. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, we are all in blue.
Matchy, matchy.
All right. Well, we already have, if you have questions this half hour, text them in, call them in, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. But we already have some that have been submitted. And so question number one. Dr. Mike, I went on several dates with this guy that seemed promising. On the last one, he talked about how much he liked me, how hard it was to find an intellectual and physical connection he thought we had. The next day, he slowly decreased communication until it went to nothing. I know I'm being ghosted at this point, and frankly, I'm okay with it. Why is this such a pervasive issue in modern dating? Why can't people be honest with each other when they're not feeling it? Have we lost our manners, basic human decency? There's a part of me that wants to be a dating crusader and tell this guy he's rude. Do it or nah?
I love this question. First of all, thanks for writing in. And it's great. We're getting some texters, some writers, getting a little momentum in this segment. I love it. So keep them coming. First of all, I like that you say, hey, I think I'm being ghosted and I'm all right with it. Good. I'm glad you're all right with it. You know, that's a good sign of self-respect, that you're not letting it bring you down. Like one short and fast and dirty way that I sort of think about self-respect is sort of that idea that, you know, it's not about walking into every room or every dating situation knowing that everybody's going to love you and appreciate you and respect you and all that sort of stuff. It's knowing that you'll be okay even if they don't love and appreciate you, right? And it sounds like you've got a good head on your shoulders and that you're not being too flustered by this guy. So good for you. Matters. Have we all lost common decency? I hate to say it, Jane, is it okay to say this early in the morning? Yes, I think we have, Jane. I really think we have. You know, I just got off of a call with a client right about a half an hour ago, a really cool guy, an investor and an entrepreneur. And he was just talking about, there are no adults anymore, Kristen, right? Nobody can just say what they mean. Nobody can just look you in the eye and say, this is how I feel, this is what I mean. You know, even if it's tough to hear, yeah, we have a good connection, but I'm just not ready for commitment, right? Or, you know, everything seems to work, but something's missing and it's not you, it's me. Nobody even gives it's not you, it's me anymore, right? We just ghost. And I think there's this idea, maybe because of dating apps or maybe because of social media or Twitter, that there's an never-ending pool of people, right? And which on the one hand is great. We can broaden our horizons. On the other hand, we treat people like tissue paper and just throw them out as soon as we're done with them, and we don't treat anybody with respect. So do I think that you should reach out to this person and be a dating crusader? You know what, listener? Why the hell not? I think you should. You know, if we want there to be a different, that we want the world to be different, then, you know, speak up and say something. Be like, hey, I'm noticing that you're not reaching out. Or anything that was going on here, any feedback, anything you want to say to me, allow the person to at least pretend to be an adult with you. But I think if you feel you want to put on your crusader cape, we support it. Go tell them what's up.
Do you think we don't do that for fear of it looking like we care too much? Because in this situation, the way they said, I'm okay with him ghosting, maybe potentially I wasn't going to pursue it anyways. And is it the fear I would think is to not say something is, I'm already moved on, I'm fine. By saying something, does it show vulnerability in that you wanted it to go further, even though you're just trying to like make this guy be a little bit more of a man or a grown up, I should say. Sorry,
a grown up. Yeah, I think that's great insight, Kristen. I think you're probably right about that. But we don't want to sort of tackle fear with fear, right? Like if they're afraid to be a grown up and tell me how they feel, or they're afraid to say the thing or even send the text. It's not that hard to send a text and say, hey, you're really great. I'm just too busy right now, or I don't want a relationship, or I'm not 100% feeling it, or I met somebody else, also totally fine. You know, it's that great line. That's like a Mark Twain line about fear. I have experienced many terrible things in life, a few of which have actually happened. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think when we're sort of like afraid of these things that don't, you know, that haven't actually happened yet, that's probably not the way that we want to react. So, yeah, I mean, this caller seems pretty cool, and like they don't really, you know, they don't really care about, you know, being ghosted. So if you feel the need to give this young man the manners that he wasn't taught when he was growing up, it sounds like he needs, then go give it to him and write back to us next week and let us know how he goes. He'll probably just block you, but I'm interested to hear.
All right. Well, let's do what I always look forward to, is looking at my fantasy results from last week, because I made the mistake of listening to the other Mike in my life when it came to my lineup, besides you. Yes, I am married to someone named Mike, and my best friend is named Mike. That's not confusing at all.
I have gotten confusing texts from you.
Yes, you have.
I'll see you in 20 minutes. And I was like, she's visiting. And you're not. You were just talking to your husband.
Yep.
Yeah, which is great.
But he looked at my lineup Sunday morning and said that I should swap out my 49ers defense with the Chargers defense.
Okay.
And then... we said no one would have expected that the Chargers were going to get stomped, but my defense cost me -6 points, and I lost by 2. So we can blame this squarely on the feet of Michael Sampson.
In my phone, he's Sampson in my phone. I don't even put his name Mike in my phone. He's got to do some work to be a Mike around around me. I'll never put his name. And that, this is not helping you, Michael Sampson. This is not helping you with me. She won by 30 points and then 40 points. She listens to you once.
Should I have kept
and then she loses by 2?
So should I have kept the 49ers? Or was I smart to at least look at different defenses? I just picked the wrong one.
I mean, you can always look at different defenses, but I mean, the 49ers are a really good defense. They don't have a whole lot of, you know, they had a rookie quarterback who wasn't that great, and he got hurt, and they have Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm not sure if you saw this game. Jane, you would have loved it. I know you're not into sports, but watch it. Jimmy Garoppolo ran with the ball through the back of the end zone, which automatically gives the other team 2 points and the ball, but he kept playing and he threw the ball and the other team caught it and ran it back for a touchdown. Like, that's like maybe the worst play you could ever even,
He is very pretty though.
He's a very beautiful man. Beautiful man. But we also know that every success the 49ers has is, no offense against beautiful Jimmy G, is the defense. So I would have left him alone. I would have appreciated a text to sort of say, Sampson told me to do that. Yeah, I would have appreciated that, because I'm in pretty deep here. And Jane is too, for sure. And so now we have to deal with a 2-1 record where we could have been 3-0. And so, you know, Jane's not going to recover from this.
It's so upsetting.
All right, so what should I do? Should I move those two around and put the defense, 49ers defense, back in for Chargers and get rid of the Chargers defense?
Yeah, I mean, you don't really need two defenses right now. Let's see who are. Yeah, I just don't think you. I don't think you need to get cute with it. It was working. The Chargers are playing the Texans, who are, you know, kind of bad, and the Niners are playing the Rams. You can leave the Chargers in if you want to. They're playing a worse team. I think if you have a winning strategy, you just sort of go with it. You also could drop one of those defenses in the next couple of weeks and get another player, because everybody's going to start to get hurt. If it says that the Chargers are going to score a point more or something like this in your ESPN league or whatever, go with the Chargers. They're playing a worse team. But, you know, in the future, I would love a little text, you know, because I texted you and reminded you about Michael Pittman last week. So I would love a little bit of letting me know what's happening there, because it's reciprocation. Because Michael Sampson, you Always
shame, shame. Shame. We're talking. Shame. Well, this is our segment, our weekly segment on Thursdays at 11:30. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup with Dr. Michael McCutcheon. Next question is a little bit somber, but a texter said, "Here is my question for you. Our father has died. We have one sister that lives in a neighboring state. She says she is not coming to the funeral service." She gives lots of reasons, one of which is that she did not have a great relationship with our dad, yet she called constantly to be updated as he was dying and sent him lots of cards and calls during his illness. My other siblings and I feel anger towards her for her decision and feel like she will live to regret this. We also feel like in choosing not to come, she is also turning her back on all of us as we grieve. Thoughts on how to handle this so a lifelong rift is not created?
I'm so sorry for your loss and for your family's loss. It's really, really tough. And I'm sorry that this complicates it. You know, things with how different family members deal with situations can often make an already tough scenario worse. It's salt in the wound, right? When people have arguments over who should have cared for somebody more or less, or things around a will or things like this about how we deal with the funeral, all these sorts of things. You're already grieving. Right. And now you have to worry about this relationship. So I'm really, really sorry to hear that. And thanks for calling or writing in. First of all, I'm just going through the list here. It sounds like she called all the time and but then didn't want to come to the funeral. It sounds like she kind of like wanted it both ways. She wanted to know, but she also didn't necessarily want to have it sound like she cared and that she's had an issue with your father for a really, really long time. And then your thought about regret, you know, you feel anger and or nervous that she's going to regret it. You know, this is something that she should really be talking to somebody about. You know, these issues with parents, they don't go away easily, right? When we're young, parents are essentially godlike to us, right? What they say and what they do very much looks like the right answer. And if they get something wrong, we take that really, really seriously. So something's happened here. A bunch of things have happened for your sister to feel like she's not close to your father, and to feel like she doesn't even want to, you know, be there for you while you grieve. I think that would be my request if I were you. I wouldn't make it about the father, right? If you really want her to come, I really would say it's not for dad. Actually, it's not even for you and dad. We're asking you to do something for us. You don't have to go visit the body, right? You don't have to give a talk. You don't have to shake hands with anybody. Just be there for us, right? Help us grieve. We are the living, right? I think a lot of times that's what funerals are for. They're not just for honoring the dead. They're for the living, right? And so I think it's important for you if she cares about the relationship, but she should try to be there for you, right? And she doesn't have to entertain or anything else. The final thing I'll say to the listener is this idea of a rift. Just like you can't control whether this person regrets it or not, unfortunately, you also can't control whether there's a lifelong rift or not. Just like if I'm walking down the street and unfortunately if somebody tries to mug me or start a fight with me, I didn't start a fight, but I'm in a fight now. That happened, right? That's something that's happened. And sort of the same thing here. If you say to somebody, please be here for me, and they're not there for you, right? This means a lot to me, and they let you down. If they choose to have a rift with you, there's going to be a rift. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be a quote-unquote lifelong rift. You can work through these things, and hopefully with time, those things can go away. But just remember that you can control yourself. You can control those, your emotions and your actions, but we can't control those around us. We just can't do it. So I'm sending a lot of love to you and your family at this time. And hope that this was a little bit helpful for you.
Well, on that note, that was a very good answer. I got things out of that answer. But for now, we're going to take a break. If you have questions about your life or your lineup, we still have another segment with Dr. Mike when we come back. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
personal file. 69, offense. He was giving them the business.
Is your love life a fantasy? Having issues with your fantasy football roster? Helping with football and your love life, here's your new best friend, Dr. Mike.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are in our weekly segment every Thursday at 11:30. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup, where we take your questions, trying to ask for advice of things happening in your life, but also maybe what you should do in your lineup, like not swap out your defense when your husband tells you to. all right, so I think we have a texter with a question.
Yes, we do. This is Roy. Here is my question for Dr. Mike. Whether I should start the Panthers defense or Steelers defense this Sunday, the answer may seem obvious, but some of my Panther fan friends thinking, without any evidence backing it up factually, that the Panthers have an elite defense. Thank you.
Great question. Let's see here. So just for the viewers here, for the listeners, the Steelers are playing at home against the lowly New York Jets, and the Panthers are playing at home against the mighty Arizona Cardinals. I think you should roll with the Steelers. You know, your friend is right. Panthers defense is okay, but they're going up against Kyler Murray. Kristen, this man is shorter than me, and he can just ball all over the place. He's incredible. I think he went like 50-0 in high school and then like won the Heisman Trophy. He's great. He just got signed to a $1 zillion contract, and I think he's gonna score a bunch of points. He's gonna run. He's gonna pass. He's gonna do everything. If I were you, I would stick with the Steelers against the Jets. The Jets, you know, you can't name five people on the Jets team, so I would go with that. So
and yet the Browns lost to them.
Yeah, thanks, Kristen. I gotta go. Actually, so it was good seeing you all. Have a good week. I'll see you never. Thanks. Yeah.
All right, we have another question. David Njoku, is that how you pronounce his last name?
Yeah, Njoku.
Njoku is David Njoku set for another breakout game? And should I start him, or is he still proving himself, so stick with the safer choices of Ertz or Kittle?
Oh, good question. This is one of those ones where it's true and false, right? So he is still proving himself, right? But I don't think that means you should stay away from him. The Browns are not throwing the ball way down the field. They like to throw the little five-yard passes, and Njoku's great at that. So do I think he's going to have a same breakout game like last week, like 8 or 9 catches for almost 100 yards and a touchdown? Probably not, but do I think he'll get 5 or 6 or 7 catches and maybe a touchdown? Yeah, and I just don't think Kittle and Ertz are that safe anymore. I mean, maybe they are, maybe they aren't, but I think Njoku's got a higher ceiling. So, you know, in fantasy, we're not always just trying to protect ourselves and not lose. We're trying to win, right? So if you're going for the big splashy move, I would go with Njoku. And I'm not going to tell your listeners to do something that I wouldn't do. I'm not lying to you. 45 minutes ago, just picked up Njoku and put him in my lineup for the week. So I'm starting him myself.
In one of your 6 lineups?
In one of them, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, so yeah. Now we're going to do football, fact or fiction, where we read a statement, and Michael gives his opinion on whether that statement is fact or fiction. Maybe we should start putting fact or fiction for like life scenarios in there, except just football ones. All right, QB Kyler Murray of the Arizona Cardinals faces a very tough Panthers defense this week. So should I bench Murray this week and start Tom Brady of the Bucks against the Chiefs defense instead? Fact or fiction? That sounds like a question. Huh. Anyways.
Yeah. So I guess it's like I should bench him.
I read it wrong.
Let me think. No, we just talked. Tom Brady is great. They may go to the Super Bowl or whatnot. But this is what they do. They're probably not going to. But you know, he's great. He's a winner. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to score a lot of points. They're going to run the ball a lot, whereas Arizona is going to throw the ball a lot, and Kyler Murray is going to run it himself. So I would go with Kyler Murray over Tom Brady this week. He's got so many more weapons, so many more options, and Tom Brady is basically throwing to people from practice squads. And, you know, Kristen and I might actually make the Buccaneers a wide receiver roster next week. They've got no one.
I got great hands.
You do. You do. You're great. Yeah. You're quick. You're wily. You know?
Yeah. I got a very long wingspan.
Right, exactly. Also, I think that people would be like, don't guard her, and then you just, you know, roadrunner away. I would go with Kyler Murray. I think it's not only a safer bet, but a higher ceiling. So sorry, that's two strikes against the Panthers defense that we just said, but oh well.
All right, fact or fiction. There have been a flurry of NFL upsets through 3 weeks, but this is just a fluke. And there won't be any upsets this week now that Vegas knows the teams better and has adjusted the odds accordingly. Fact or fiction?
Ooh, that's fiction. No way. That's fiction. There will be upsets. That's why we watch. We, as our friends, and pardon the interruption, always say, that's why we play the games. You got to play the games. Can I give you guys a couple of upsets that I think will actually happen? Yes. Tonight, the Bengals are favored against the Dolphins by about 3.5 points. Jane, that means that if I take the Dolphins and say they lose by three, I still win because I'm given 3.5 points, right? So whether the Dolphins win outright or they lose a close game, I still win. I'm going to win you over, Jane, in the next 14 weeks. And so I would take the Dolphins plus 3.5 tonight, and you might even just want to take them straight up. I think that they can win tonight. So the Dolphins could be an upset. And Monday night, the Niners play the Rams. The Niners are favored by 1.5 points. I think the Niners are going to lose that game. I think the Rams are just going
to
win it.
You just told me to keep their defense. No, I think you said to keep the Chargers defense. Okay.
I did. Yeah,
right.
I did.
All right. This one's for me.
Okay.
We only got two minutes left. Fact or fiction? Brett Favre was a very good football player, but since his foundation allegedly misappropriated money from disadvantaged children and cancer patients, he might not be a very good person. Fact or fiction?
I'm sorry to the wonderful people of Green Bay, but that might be a fact. You know, when I grew up, I used to be obsessed with Michael Jackson. Fantastic performer. Probably not going to invite him to babysit anytime soon, right? So, I mean, like, there is something to be said for somebody being really good at something and maybe just not the best human being of all time. Now, I don't want to say that Brett Favre's not a good person, but this is a very not good thing that he...
It's actually a crime.
So I would just say, you know, all of us, Jane, I think you can get on board with this. We have moments of being great. We have moments of being not so great. We're all complicated beings. So Brett Favre, good at football, pretty good at Wrangler commercials, maybe not somebody you want to hire to be the head of your ethics department at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
All right. Well, that will do it for Dr. Mike's Fixes Your Life and your lineup for this week. You can email us questions throughout the week as they pop up, and we'll read them next week at 11:30 on Thursday. But for now, we will let you get back to your clients and enjoy that Denver weather. Dr. Michael McCutcheon, thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
See you next week. Bye.
Zazgo's Wisconsin. Stick with us through the break.
The vicarious fulfillment of your dream that got deferred. You had aspirations as a kid, but you didn't have the skill. So you watched genetically superior people do the things you never will. Sports go sports. They're the competitors you prefer best, their opposing equivalents. So you can somehow feel connected to the feet of your self-appointed constituents.